depart, I fed my dream. Permaculture flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how feet.
Welcome to episode 475 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is my passion. The only Pimpcast on this earth that discusses permaculture, preparedness, practical living, and occasionally prostitutes.
Permaculture PIMP, with soulful grace, in a PIMP cast where we find a place.
All right, here we are, episode 475, almost ready to hit that 500. We're going to have to do a big giveaway on number 500, son. What do you think? Yeah, you're muted.
Dang. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. We could do some soil saviors or some Ringa seeds. We could do a huge giveaway.
Cool. Folks, if you haven't listened to that interview that I did yesterday with Sean Hawkins from Cultivated Mind Mushrooms, man, you really want to check that out because it honestly shocked me. And it also shocked me in a number of ways in which, man, you Hakeem Anwar from Above Phone hooked us up. And when Hakeem says, man, you really got to check this guy out, I'm thinking, okay, you know, you get this a lot. And honestly, it was a very surprising interview and how much I learned in this thing. And I think it might be very beneficial, but of course, can't do it right here on YouTube, not in this channel, not on the Pimpcast or not on the Permapastures Farm channel and not on William's channel. Can't do them there because honestly, folks, they've been pulling stuff behind the scenes that is just downright awful. So I'm going to get this announcement right now. Anybody wanting to see the live version of it will have to go to the Permaculture Pimpcast YouTube channel or Permapastures Farm Rumble channel. Son, do you have a Rumble channel or anything else?
I may have set one up over on Rumble. I'll double check. But hey, keep in mind, when you look up for the Permaculture Pimpcast, you're going to have to type in every letter. I'm signed in to the YouTube account. And for me to find the Permaculture Pimpcast YouTube channel, I have to type in every single letter of the Permaculture Pimpcast in order to find it. So keep that in mind. And chances are, interviews are probably going to pop up before the channel does itself. So just keep that in mind. And you're definitely not going to get notifications from that channel. Not because we're not telling it to, but just because of the warnings that channel has already got. That channel, didn't they label it like a threat to humanity?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, your mom told me about that. I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, this has got to be some kind of joke. But no, they're deadly serious. But they're playing games with our other channels as well. So from here on out, we're going to have to do it in those forms. It's going to have to be on the Rumble channel or on the Pimpcast channel. And they may just pull the plug on that one because it's YouTube has opened up in a big way to some people. But to a lot of others, especially with the stuff, like, for example, I can't believe, or maybe they did flag that video that I did yesterday, because he's talking about serious ways in which, you know, there could be potential cures to a number of things that are going on out there. And there's a lot of really good information. All right, y'all. So this episode, as always, brought to you by the Sovereign Health Summit. Get your doggone tickets, y'all. That's going to be October 27th through the 31st. That's going to be in Harmony, North Carolina. TPC, Tango Papa Charlie will get you 5% off. And if you want to do the online version, we got that as well. I'd love to see you in person, and I'm sure I'll be giving that a lot of hugs. Also, myredlight.com. For any single item, BB25 will get you 25% off, which is astonishing. And then BB30 will get you 30% off any bundled items. So if you're looking for red light therapy or anything along that route, folks, you have got to get your stuff, get your poop in a group and get over there and check it out because that thing is for real. I got one in the room behind me and believe it or not, man, as much as they play games with, you know, it's really, really handy, especially in the winter. It's handy when you can't get outside. It's handy when, you know, maybe it's raining outside, whatever the case may be. You know, the sun's always going to be the best in so many different ways, but, you know, that is a worthy plan B if you have to. Anyway, myredlight.com. So I'm going to jump right into the farm news. Well, son, before I got on here, I was talking to the people I could contact that are going to be speakers at the Sovereign Health Summit. I was, you know, I got to get them to, you know, help promote and do all this other stuff. I was on the phone. Well, I was playing phone tag with Dr. Will, and man, what he said there, I mean, I never met this man. He's always cool as a cucumber, laid back, easy going, easy like Sunday morning. This is the first time I ever talked to him where he was really perplexed. And by the way, Bren Z, thank you for that $10. If you break bread, I won't fake dead.
Thank you, Bren.
Thank you so much. Anyway, son, I got to start splitting these super chats with you. I keep forgetting about that. Yeah, I owe you some money, buddy.
No, mom sends it. So she might have already been doing that. Mom's been sending stuff. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's what moms do. Yeah. Over here, giving away all dad's money without me knowing it.
She sends it to Emily. And Emily will tell me, hey, mom just sent you X amount. And I'm like, for what? And she said the podcast. And I was like, oh, okay.
It's like your grandmother, you know, she's still sending me checks for $25 for my birthday every time. Yeah. So they never get cashed. But anyway, I was on the phone with Dr. Will, and he was like, man, I'm so sorry. Usually he's tough to get a hold of anyway, because he is constantly on the go and people are blowing him up all the time, wanting him to do scans. And, but usually it's not so difficult for us to make contact. Anyway, he gets on there and I'm like, Will, what, dude, you seem out of sorts. You seem a little bit fluttered. What's going on? He says, man, I've never been more busy in my life doing scans on people. And he's doing a lot of scalar stuff for those that don't know. And I said, what's going on? He says, did you have any idea that 26 million Americans took the latest version of the JAB in the first quarter of this year? And I'm like, I had no idea. I thought people had gotten the memo at this point. He says, apparently 26 million didn't. And now they're shedding like nobody's business, because all of the clients I have that live anywhere near a city or have to work around these people that are constantly jabbed, they're messed up in a big way. And we're having to work on ways to get them squared away. And so that's just something to think about, y'all. I mean, good night. You better get your health in order. This is exactly why we got the Sovereign Health Summit. So that was something, you know, I didn't mean to lead off this program with something like that, but I really just got off the phone with him about an hour ago. So I was figuring I might want to let everybody know that, because if you got to work or you got to be in close proximity to somebody, you might want to think about getting some of that stuff from Brian Artis. What is it called?
The nose spray?
No, it's, you put it under your tongue. It's the biodefense, I want to say.
Yeah,
I think it's called biodefense or something like it. Anyway, go to Brian, the drartistshow.com. And, you know, I try to remember, I'm going to start doing it. I haven't been doing it in a while, but every time I left the house, whenever I go to Asheville, knowing there's got to be 90% compliant in that town, every time I go there, I would always take it. But I haven't lately. So I'm going to get back to doing that very same thing. Oh, man. Thanks again, Brent. Hey, what's the rest of y'all doing? She's over here breaking off $10. Hey, break that bread. No.
she said, give this to your dad. I think it's the other way around.
Yeah, we'll work it out. Thank you so much, Brent. Yeah, but anyway, folks, just think about that and think about whatever, you know, whatever remediation you need to take if you got to be around these people. But he's saying it's worse than ever as far as the shedding and stuff like that. So that's number one I wanted to make everybody aware of. Around here, as far as the farm news, man, it is raining, son, every single day. Even though I was on the phone with Pat's girlfriend, who just happens to be in North Dakota, and check this out, got off the phone with her. And she's been on the show before, Mariah Prusha. And she's a good friend of the family, and along with Pat. So anyway, I'm talking to Mariah about some stuff. She's going to be the MC out there. And she's telling me they haven't had rain in North Dakota since June. And everybody is in extreme drought up there. Farmers are crying like you haven't seen before. The drought insurance, the farm insurance, the crop insurance, all that stuff, ain't none of it going to help. She said the cracks are so big in the ground, she can take her whole arm and put them down in the cracks where this corn is growing. And it's gotten so bad. I mean, this is definitely weather warfare, y'all. that thing that happened in Washington State the other day. Somebody explained to me how you turn a whole house into ash, but trees with leaves on them right next to the house are just fine. Sound like what happened in California, doesn't it, son?
It sounds like what happened in California. It sounds like what happened in, what was it, Maui? Or is it Maui? Yeah, Maui. Yeah, sounds like what's happened in a few different places. Sounds like what happened to a couple of towers back in 2001.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what happened. All the same stuff. Is that Kevin Frazier in the house?
Hey, oh. Kevin Frazier.
Oh, man, I was just thinking about you the other day, man. I don't know why. I was looking at the chat. Oh, man, thank you so much for being here, bro. Yeah, you are an extraordinary guy. I remember that interview we did with your son. It was honestly one of my favorites. It really was.
Your
sense of humor, the whole nine yards. Wicked smart, too. Yeah. Anyway, it's been raining every day here, and I'm talking to people in other parts of the country. Folks, this is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to starve us out. A lot of these places where these crops are coming up, good night, man. It's not wonderful. But meanwhile, we're getting rain every single day right here where I live in Western North Carolina. So, which could also, you know, like they say, a lack of rain will scare you, but too much rain will kill you. So that's exactly what might be happening in some of the cornfields around here as well, y'all. Get your house in order because, you know, it may be sooner rather than later. It's definitely going down. It's just the speed at which it will. So just definitely keep that in mind. Let's see here. I can't even read my own writing here. I got my notes here. Oh, trying to do a little bit of weed eating out here, but I swear y'all, every single time I pick that weed eater up, every single time without question, I kid you not, it starts raining. I mean, moments after, it's almost like somebody's playing a practical joke on me, which they could easily do around here. Sheep, with all this rain, y'all, I want to make sure I cover this. I covered this on Patreon, on my Patreon, but I'm keeping the sheep moving. When you have animals that could be susceptible to, well, they're always moving anyway. But this time of year, typically without all the moisture, they'd be on a 2 or 3 day rotation. But they're moving every single day right now because the threat of, you know, pestilence. You know, they could get some bug, and if you keep them moving, it's less likely to happen. So that's why we're staying on top of that. They're moving every single day. The playing games with my email once again. Folks, I'm sorry I'm not here to complain, but I know there's a lot of people complaining because they're saying, well, I haven't heard back from you. Folks, I'm not getting them. I know they're playing games. I told you all a while back about Dane Wigington emailing me to be a part of this experiment, and then it gets to me a week later when it's no longer relevant. There's a lot of weird stuff going on out there. So YouTube's playing games, email's playing games, and I'm not the only person this is happening to. It's anybody who's speaking truth of power. And also, son, is it happening to you as well?
Well, yeah, but also, so everybody, I'll wait till you get to farm news. Okay. I'll wait till you're done.
Well, a couple more things. Look, man, I fermented this garlic. Man, I got like 2-quart jars full of garlic that I'm fermenting in honey. You know, I was told that this is really, really awesome medicinally. Of course, I'm eating garlic like it's growing out of style because you can't have too much of it. Man, I'll tell you what, I thought this stuff would be at least close, you know, about a week after I started it. Man, this is not that store-bought garlic, y'all. Even I can't stand my breath right now. I ate 3 cloves of that stuff. I eat a salad every single day, and typically I eat it in the morning. But I ate one. I cooked up this salmon. Yes, it was ocean caught. I cooked up the salmon. I said, okay, man, I'll just put this stuff in the salad. And then I took 3 of those cloves of garlic, man. This stuff was so strong, man. I was debating on whether or not I would spit it out. It was like something burning a hole in the side of my jaw. But anyway, anybody else tried that before where you fermented garlic and honey? I'd heard about it. I can't remember where, but anyway, I took all this garlic, got it in the honey, letting it ferment. Garlic by itself is already fantastic. I don't know what it's going to be with this honey that we got out of our own hives. And I'll tell you what, here's a little trick. Here's a little trick. Try this, son. If anybody else out there does what I just did, where, I mean, like I said, we got honey coming out of our ears, man. It's not uncommon for us to give away 3-4 gallons at a time to somebody who needs it. I mean, William, when y'all came through, we gave you a 5-gallon bucket worth of it.
Yep.
And, you know, the folks down the road, You know, I trade them milk or cheese, which, by the way, their cheese is off the meat wagon, man. I'm over here rationing this stuff because I don't want to seem too greedy going back. But, man, I keep filling up the milk jars that they give me with honey. And anyway, mixing all that stuff together, I'm telling you, I got the best salad dressing ever. Shane, Chef Shane, came up with this stuff called the pimp sauce a while back. And it's basically the honey we have, and he does some other stuff to it, put some cilantro in there, the whole nine yards. What I'm trying to tell you is that when that honey mixes with that garlic, it makes the best salad dressing I might have ever had in my life. It works. You just spoon some of that stuff out of there because as the garlic is fermenting, it's making the bubbles at the top. And if you don't spoon some of it out, it might just go over the sides. So I'm like, man, I wonder if this would be good on a salad. That's exactly what I did, man. I took that garlic honey, stuck it on top of the salad, and I think you could do it on just about anything. Son, can you read that comment in there?
Which one?
The one at the bottom.
Oh, Agape Field. I fermented garlic and honey, and it knocked out my upper respiratory crud. I've emailed and texted William multiple times with no replies. Are you receiving them? As of right now, no. So I'll wait. I'll wait till you're done, Dad.
Okay, well, one last thing. You know, folks, you can't do too much of the fermentation as far as I'm concerned. So all the tomatoes that are coming out of there right now, we're good on tomato sauce. We got, in fact, I just used some sauce today from 2022. I made this Verde sausage in 2022, and it's still good despite what people tell you. Oh, you got to get rid of this stuff in a year. Man, I'm eating meat from 2022, and it's perfectly fine. And this is sausage that I made. Anyway, it's a Verde. It's a green sausage that has more of a cross between Mexican and Italian undertones to it. Anyway, made that, mixed it up with that sauce from 2022, but all the tomatoes she's making salsa out of, and it's fermented salsa, folks. I'm telling you, if you don't let it go too long, it is the best way to eat salsa. And it's really, really awesome for you that way as well. All right. With that said, son, let me kick it on over to you.
All right. So as far as the digital platform going on right now, I got some issues. So earlier this week, I went and got it was this weird thing going on with Verizon, where if I added the line, which was going to be a business number for me, if I added a line, it would automatically like lower my monthly bill by $10. So it made sense to do. And I was already looking at a business phone anyway. Anyway, the way he worked it out, because I wanted to keep my old phone and not trade it in or anything like that. And the best way to work that out was to make my old phone the new number, and then my new phone, the old number, right? So the issue is that when they're close, one of the issues is that when they are close together, they act as if either they're the same number or neither one of the numbers that I have. For example, at the same exact time, I received a call from a number from Canton, Texas, at both phones at the same time, and they're supposed to have different numbers. Now, if they're apart, if they're like, if I'm away, like not in the house, like that far apart, or if I'm in town or something like that, this one will act like my normal phone. And then this one will act like a normal phone. Cause I'll go back and like check whenever I get back to see if I have the same number of notifications or same types of notifications and things like that. That is just one of the issues as far as tech goes that, we're having issues with. And part of the reason, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Dad, part of the reason we're keeping the pimp cast off of our YouTube channels, right, is because of the tech issues, because our emails are also linked. For example, my email is linked, like the email you guys contact me through is directly linked through to the YouTube channel. It's Gmail. Same thing with Dad's, it's Gmail. I wonder if there's any issues just coming through from the YouTube channel as well. But as far as the digital platform stuff, I was told that this was also going to be a super easy transfer. It has not been easy. It's been rather difficult. So I'm going to have to go back there and have that Verizon dude try to help me out or something, or try to figure out, or you just even direct me in the correct way to go to find help on this. Cause I've tried to look up why this might be happening. I can't find any answers. So I'm going to have to go back there and ask him, see if he knows where to direct it. And next step after that would probably be at Apple Store or any ethical hackers I can make contact with. So there's that. As far as here goes, last night was interesting. June ate something that her stomach didn't agree. My daughter, she ate something. She's two. She ate something last night that her stomach did not agree with. Everybody's about to fall asleep, and then bam, she throws up all over her bed, all over Emily, all over herself. And there's that, but she's perfectly fine. She's not acting like she's sick. She's not acting like she has any issues. So Emily's cleaning themselves up, and then I go to clean up the bedroom, and then they go from June's bedroom, my daughter's bedroom, to our bedroom, and they're trying to sleep there. And then bam, she throws up again, but she's acting perfectly fine. It's not like she's having like a lead up to it or anything like that. It's just bam, she's throwing up. And then we're like, all right, make the other bed. We got to get together a bed for this child to sleep in. So I made or figured out the other bed. They went back to the first bed that they, after it was all cleaned up, they went back to the first bed, and then bam, she throws up one more time. And at this point, and then that was the last time she threw up, but it was consistent throughout the night, and it kept happening right before everybody was, like, the moment right before you're about to fall asleep. So last night was rough, and Emily and June took quite a good nap earlier today. So yeah, there was that. And then this morning I went over to a friend's house and helped her process some chickens. Another thing that people might want to consider, if they're wanting to keep chickens, whole chickens in the freezer, keep in mind, like, keeping whole chickens in your freezer is going to take up a lot of space. One of the things you could do to keep still a whole chicken but take up less space in your freezer is to remove the backbone and spatchcock it. So you remove the backbone of your chicken, and then you put that cut side, the backside, down on the table. And then you just push on the chest, and then it should flatten out pretty easily. It's not going to be as flat pack as you could for a freezer, but like if you were piecing it out, but it's still way flatter than, you know, stacking whole chickens with that big old cavity in the center of it in the freezer. Also, I think spatchcock chickens cook better. I think they cook more evenly. I think they just do better overall. You have like consistent, like crunchy skin throughout, instead of having like some soggy, weird texture spots and then some other crunchy good spots and stuff like that. So yeah, think about spatchcocking your chickens before you throw them in the freezer. Yeah, and that's other than tomatoes, peppers, and things like that popping up. Oh, something else that I just noticed a whole bunch of: watermelons. Those melons popped up out of nowhere in the garden. Like the actual melon itself, they popped up out of nowhere in the garden. I got them climbing like on the property line fence over here by the garden. I got sweet potatoes climbing that fence too. Which I know is driving one guy crazy because he keeps his yard pristine. And the fact that I just intentionally grew vines on my fence, I'm sure he's losing his mind. But yeah, other than that, that's pretty much everything going on here.
Well, another little trick you could do also with those chickens, if you want to, I got, what was it? I think almost, I want to say 40 chickens. I did a video on how you can stack up 40 chickens in one freezer. And it goes down to this method that we came up with a long time ago.
And the type of freezer, though. The type of freezer is important.
Yeah, the freezer, like the freezer above your fridge. One of those, I think we got 40 birds in there. And the way you do it is basically piece them out. But there's a way to also pack them. If you're going to have to, folks, don't ask me to find that video. It's in there. And I don't even know what it was called. But it's way back on the YouTube channel on Permapastor's Farm. But if you go check that out, I'm telling you what, we got 40 birds in one doggone freezer. If it wasn't 40, I hope I'm not overstating it. Let's say it's 30.
I think it was 46 specifically.
People think I'm crazy when I tell them that. I'm like, if you piece them out and you put four drumsticks together and you make them flat, there's a way to do it. You got to stack them each way. You can do the same with the wings. You do the same with the breasts and then the thighs. You can stack everything in there flat where there's no air between any of it. And I think regular chickens, you might be able to get 8 of them in there, 8 decent-sized birds.
Maybe. Yeah, you can, closer to 6, I think.
Okay, maybe. Okay, I'm being a little bit charitable there. But if you got a number of birds and you're thinking, okay, this is the only freezer I got, that's exactly why I did that video. In the hopes that people would say, okay, well, this is absolutely going to work. Go ahead.
I found it. The name of the video is New Chicken Processing Method for Small Freezers. Let me show you right there. New Chicken Processing Method for Small Freezers.
At Permapastor's Farm. Okay, that's one you want to check out. Let me guess.
And that was not vacuum sealed, but, oh, sorry, Dad. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
David Zimmerman was asking, did you vacuum seal before freezing? No, these are all butcher paper.
Yeah, I wrap everything. I do it the old-fashioned way when it comes to that. I do. I'm not opposed to the vacuum sealing. I just, you know, just old school that way. I like butcher paper, and that there's just like an old-timey warm feeling about it to me. It takes me back to when my grandmom would actually go to the butcher counter back when we were growing up, and whatever she got, which was normally cow tongue, because we didn't eat real food. I mean, we didn't eat meat, folks. I mean, you got a grandmother raising six boys because mom and dad are away in the joint. Believe me, and welfare wasn't what it was like it is today, I'm sure. And knowing grandma, she probably didn't get it anyway, but every day of the week, it might've been, rice and gizzards. We ate liver. I don't think I've ever tasted, I don't recall ever having tasted regular meat in my life until I was about 11. So that's what we ate. So anyway, I remember grandma going to the butcher counter. I used to love cow tongue though. Man, I put a hurting on some cow tongue. She would get that cow tongue, and I remember the butcher would wrap it up in that butcher paper, and I don't know why, but it was like going to the Amish. Once a year, we'd get ice cream. I don't remember what the occasion was, but it was like once a year we'd get ice cream. If we ever ate candy, Grandma made it out of molasses. I kid you not, she made molasses candy, and it was awful. But it was the only candy that we got, unless we found a quarter on the ground, and then you can go down to Mary's store and go get something. But that's, you know, that for me, man, I didn't mean to go so nostalgic on everybody, but that's why I'm partial. I know a lot of people don't like it, but that's why I like the butcher paper, just kind of keeping old ways intact. Go ahead, son.
Kevin Frazier's asking, if I don't ask when the next batch of bone sauce will be done, I'm going to need an intervention. He says, Zuzi is standing over him now with a rolling pin.
Oh, okay. Hey, we should have some on the website. If we don't, it should be on tonight. I did some yesterday in between the doggone raindrops happened. We had one day a while back. I don't think I actually put that stuff online. So anybody wanting any, we'll get you squared away, Kevin. All right. But you know, your money is no good with us. So anyway, just, tell us where to send it, and we'll get you squared away, man. I'll make sure we. Yeah, send me. Yeah, get me squared away, son.
Yeah. All right. So,
didn't mean to go so nostalgic on the butcher paper, but the bottom line is that's what I remember growing up. And believe me, the food sucked. I hated it. And, but the butcher paper still is. Back then, there was still a neighborhood butcher back in the day. There really was. And if even your supermarket had a person that was a legit butcher, you can tell them what they want. Grandma would get tongue, and that was the only meat that she ever got that I liked eating. The rest of it, no. That's why to this day, you couldn't. If anybody ever has me in a torture camp, all they got to do is give me gizzards to eat.
Because I can sloppy eggs, man.
Nah, man. Grandma would boil these gizzards. We didn't even get them fried. She boiled the gizzards and the livers and the hearts and stuff, man. That's how we ate them, and she'd stick them in rice, and it was just downright. I know people got to be cringing just hearing that, but that's what we grew up on, man. That was, that was it. You know, if you were lucky.
I remember trying to get you to try that place in Kansas City, that Chicken Go place. All they sold were, you had three options. You could get gizzards, or you could get livers, or you could get half and half. And they were good. I tried to get you on it, and you weren't having it.
Ain't no way, no how. I ain't eating no gizzards, livers, none of that stuff. In fact, the liver I eat now, I take it, and I put it in a capsule. I freeze dry it, and then I put it in a capsule, and I take it that way. And I do it every day. That's part of the root cause protocol with, Morley Robbins. I'm doing his stuff right now. But, nah, man, you want to torture me, man, have me eat that stuff, and worse yet, boil it. That's how we ate it. But she would, you know, she put it in rice, and I guess that was a meal. But grandma did live almost to be 100, so there might have been something there. No, every once in a while, she'd boil a chicken. She boiled the chicken. That's how she ate it. But I think it was to stretch as much out of it as she could, because now you got the stuff from the bones and the whole nine yards. But, she was extraordinary. All right, y'all. So, Bond Charge, if you want some of these balling glasses, B-O-N Charge. That's where you get it. 15% off with promo code PERMA. Also, if you know me, y'all, I'm G'd up from the feet up, and I mean grounded. In fact, my toes are right now on one of these grounding mats from Redemption Shield. I don't know if you just heard it, son. I was going to weed eat right after this show, and here's thunder in the background every single day about this time. Yeah. Every single day about this time, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. It's like we're living in Colorado Springs again. Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And then also, anybody wanting some of that Soil Saviors, hey, man, we got the link down below. Get yourself squared away because, you know, they are not letting up on the amount of poisons and toxins and everything else they're putting out in the air. Boy, I'm full of real good news today. All right, with that said, let's go to the good news. Rethink your daily fragrance ritual with organic cypress essential oil. Okay, I'm putting this out there. Look, y'all, please don't think that I'm in a bad mood. I'm actually in a wonderful mood. I really, really am. But I'm going to tell you the thing that I find most disgusting of all the odors out there is women's perfume. Yep. There is nothing more disgusting to me than women's perfume. Have I mentioned that I hate women's perfume? the only stuff that I could stand was this stuff that my mom used to use. And I think it was called ambergris, man. They get it from whales, man. They kill a whole whale just to get this stuff. And it was the only thing that was palatable because it came from nature. But that's where I'm going back to this article. Organic cypress essential oil. And besides, y'all, man, son, you have got to watch this video. Your mom and I watched. We made ourselves sit down and watch this documentary on YouTube about plastics. Y'all, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. This garbage is in everything. But honestly, every time you stick that perfume on, especially in some of your vital places, like on your neck, even the guy's perfume, man, or cologne. Yeah, we don't roll like that. Even the guy's cologne, man, it has got some awful stuff out there. So this article is basically talking about how cypress essential oil is actually, if you want to smell like something, man, why not? I mean, I wish they had a man's fragrance that sound, you know, that smelled like the woods or something like that. Or
no, they do. They got some options. Yeah, Dad, I can hook you up. I remember one time I was on the way to jiu-jitsu practice when mom was still driving me so I was younger, and I forgot to put on deodorant, and she had some tea tree oil essential oils in the center console. Man, I put that stuff on my armpits, and that stuff burned.
Yeah, I told you that.
Yeah, it worked. I didn't stink, but yeah, it was strong. It burned too.
Yeah, but try those natural things, man. I wish this stuff would filter into Asheville, because you can't walk down the sidewalk there. I mean, there was this stink pot walking in front of me that smelled like 30 miles of swamp in Louisiana. I mean, near a paper plant. I mean, it gets even, I have never smelled, well, that's a lie. I have smelled people really, really bad before, but it's like I think it's some satanic rite of passage to see how funky you can be and impose that upon other people. I mean, man, my olfactories, man, were absolutely damaged after that. I didn't even want to eat anything, man. It was,
there's something to what you're saying. There is something behind what you're saying. I forget the name of it, but that is, yes, something that they do where it's like, okay, like a Maria Abramovich, look at the disgusting things that, like, intentionally disgusting things that she has people participate in. It's almost like a humiliation thing or something like that. Fire Drake said satanic funk.
Yeah, it sounds like a song, man. You know, that's gotta be a song somewhere. Somebody came up with something called satanic funk. Yeah, I think there is a rite of passage to that, because I mean, I'm like, dude, there is no way you don't smell that funk. You are exuding a most malodorous air. And it is not wonderful. So, yeah, anyway, didn't mean to go down that rabbit hole, but hey, if anybody in Asheville is just happening to listen to this right now, bathe yourselves, please. Or I've talked about some ways to where you don't even need deodorant at all with some of this diatomaceous earth. You know, in the front and the back side of the day, I'm telling you what, man, I can be out there sweating like a runaway slave and you couldn't even tell it. So it does make a difference. And plus, it's chelating some junk out of you that shouldn't be in you. Can't go into any greater detail because we're on YouTube.
And also, guys, I was told by my wife, Emily, that the amount of diatomaceous earth you put in the water really, really matters as far as the texture and consistency of that drink that you're going to drink. So keep that in mind. If you do it one time and it's like a thick sludge, may have done it wrong. maybe back up a little bit and then try it again. So if you tried it one time and it was absolutely disgusting and you hit that gag reflex in your throat, lessen the diatomaceous earth and try it again.
Yeah, Fire Drake says clean diet, clean environment. You shouldn't need deodorant. Yeah, that's, you're generally right. If we lived in a world where we weren't being poisoned from the sky, from the water, from, you know, as I began the top of this program, from the people around us. So you're always going to be, you know, removing something at all times from your body, but it's worse now than it's ever been.
Okay. In El Salvador, that, did you remember when I was talking about my barefoot shoes? So I've got this pair of leather barefoot shoes. I can wear them one day and then they have to rest a day before I can wear them again. Otherwise it'll just be an insane, funky shoe. Cause it's barefoot. You're barefoot in the leather shoes and stuff like that. But in El Salvador, I was wearing them every single day. They didn't stink one time. I mean, they smelt like normal. They smelt like warm leather from me walking around in it. They didn't smell like funk or anything like that. So that was interesting. That, I guess that goes towards the clean environment. And my feet were definitely sweating in El Salvador. So it's not like we were, they were just producing less sweat or something like that. So yeah. Clean environment.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, unfortunately, I can't say that word on here. Blank begins with a Z, takes out heavy metals from your body. That's one of the words you can't say on here. How about that? That's why I couldn't bring on the guy that actually sells that stuff. Masterpiece. All right, so the next article here, PFAS out. EPA rolls back and approvals contradict pledge to curb forever chemicals. Okay. EPA is supposedly saying we're going to get rid of PFAS. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, but right now that's supposed to be good news. Meanwhile, they just approved a whole bunch of stuff that's twice as poisonous. So, yeah, this is Kennedy at work. Yeah, you know, make America healthy again. Maha is ha-ha, and I think everybody should know it by now. And then finally,
Real quick on that Maha stuff, there's some stuff that I just found out about in relation to Kratom and how Maha has been paid off on certain products and stuff like that. Maybe we can do an episode on that sometime, since Kratom is big in the news right now because they're voting on whether or not it's going to be legal or not or something like that. But it's interesting who got paid off and who's going to be able to keep producing a product and stuff like that. So maybe we'll talk about that in a future product or episode podcast.
Yeah, sounds good. Last one here from Lawn Pest, a lifesaver, the unlikely medicinal power of common dandelion. Now, I know everybody in this audience generally knows about that, but, you know, it's a nutritional powerhouse when you stop to think about it. It's got vitamin A, C, E, K, B. It's got all of it out there. I mean, it does so much. And this is why the powers that shouldn't be. Look, if it's out there, you got a compaction problem in your soil and you got a calcium problem, okay? So it's telling you, just like every other so-called weed out there, it's telling you where your problems exist and what you ought to do. And 9 times out of 10, you got a compaction issue. You get that worked out, everything else kind of falls in. But anyway, there's so many wonderful things about dandelions and the powers that shouldn't be. And I think they're beautiful to look at, honestly. I think they're awesome. But the powers that shouldn't be don't want you, they want you spraying Roundup on them. That's exactly, in fact, look at the Roundup commercials. What are they spraying them on, son? Dandelions every single time. And because they know everybody was just going to, you know, walk along, stagger blindly towards whatever they tell everybody to do. Cause sadly that is in fact the world we live in, folks. I mean, everybody's just content to be spoon fed nonsense. And you know, the people that are speaking truth to power are the ones that are nailed down. So, there you have it. All right, so we don't have anything from Eric. He's out on assignment. He's doing a number of things right now. So EMF rocks. That's what I got sitting on this Redemption Shield mat right here. 10% off with promo code PERMA, y'all. It's basically sucking up as much as it can the EMF in your environment. Sleep on this thing every night. I try to remember to put that little baggie in my pocket every day when I'm going out. They make one, a smaller version. Try to make sure I have that on me all, you know, as much as I possibly can. So anyway, EMF rocks, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Okay, here's one I wanted to do just out of the blue right now. I know everybody, if you're in the place of selling a house right now, you're probably thinking, okay, well, this was not the best time to sell a house because A, most people are struggling, and B, you know, where are you going to go? I mean, unless you're just going to build an earth ship from the ground up, you're probably going to spend more. I mean, your mom today was telling me she had to go to the bank unfortunately, this small town bank we live in, man, it, you don't even have online banking at this thing. It's weird. Anyway, she had to go to the bank, and she was in there for a very long time to try to wire money to somewhere. And the guy tells her that these two houses, these little matchbox houses across the street, were going for $500,000.
Whoa.
And like, yeah. I mean, no acreage, no nothing. They just threw them right up. And he was like, man, I was hoping to get a house, but man, I don't have $500,000. And I'm like, whoa, man, just on a city lot like that? I'd like to see if they get any of the money at all.
But so the lot these- that is steep too. Like it, nothing is usable.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the guy told your mom as well. But if you're in another place, folks, maybe you're not looking to sell right now, but how can we also add value to this property? Everybody thinks, well, I got to put it in the swimming pool. I got to do that. Man, there's so many things you can do out there that will add value to a property. Unless you're in places like Texas, where the prevailing thought, because this is my first one, I'm going to tell you to plant long-term food-producing trees. You know, mature trees, even ones that are juveniles to a certain degree, nut trees, berry bushes, they can significantly add to the property's usefulness and appeal, you know, the curb appeal, the whole nine yards for decades. Not only can they be pretty, but they can also be functional. And it adds, I mean, it is well known, man. I mean, this is just one right out of the gates that I wanted to point out. Add trees to your property. And the reason why I'm picking on Texas and Oklahoma, it's the only places where when you talk about putting trees next to somebody's house, son, fill in the blank. What do they typically say?
We should also narrow it down to a very specific part of Texas, of Deep East Texas.
There you go.
Deep East Texas. Every single time they ask, like, okay, who's going to pick all the fruit? Or they don't want it close to the house. Those are the two issues.
Every single time in Texas and Oklahoma, I don't even get it. It's always like, don't get it too close to the house. I'm like, what? This is, depending on the tree, it's going to help cool this house. You live in a hot environment. And then, you know, when the trees are off, when the leaves are off of it, you know, it'll get the sunlight. I mean, it, just trying to make sense of this doesn't make, you know. Anyway, didn't mean to get bogged down by that, but that usually works in every place but Texas and Oklahoma. Go ahead.
My first one is, this is going to be, you know, beating a dead horse, but improve the soil. So if somebody is buying, let's say you have a 15-acre, let's say we have Ken and Amy, what they just said right there. We got two cabins and 13 acres for sale. Market is very slow. Okay, so if I have on that 13 acres, let's pretend it's closer to me and it's less steep than where you are with Mountainside with Ken and Amy. If you have pastures, make sure that the species for pastures are growing, meaning like make sure you don't have like a bunch of, in your guys' instance, multiflora rose out there. Make sure you don't have a bunch of silver grass out there. You can fix all that with improving the soil. So, and it also allow the water to infiltrate deeper into the soils. It'll hold on to more water and it'll wick excess water. So you'll have less water pulling. You'll have less issues with that. And what's supposed to be growing out there is growing out there. Or like a hay field, let's say you're selling a hay field. Is it just hay out there? Can you raise the price of that land? Because this land is now growing premium horse hay instead of the cheap cow hay or any other livestock hay. Things like that. And it's all byproducts of improving the soil, especially if they're coming out and they're wanting to homestead. You could brag, depending on the season, you could brag about, hey, look how thick and tall my grass is. That's, believe it or not, the right market to brag about tall grass to, that actually understand the benefits of it. But yeah, there's a bunch of benefits to improving the soil, but a couple of them are quite a bit, are pretty visible to somebody who's looking for a homestead or a farm or a small homestead, things like that. So yeah, improve the soil. On to you, Dad.
Yeah, Brenzy Bram breaking out another $20. Thank you so much for the baby's future land ownership fund. Yeah. Wow, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, hopefully by that time we still even have a dollar. The way things are going right now, it is getting weird. Man, there was something I was going to add to that too, son, but
improving the soil.
Hopefully it'll come back to me. I'm going to tell you right now, if you live on any kind of acreage, or even if you don't, develop your reliable water sources on these properties. I'm talking, can you exploit a spring? Can you make a pond? Even if it's an intermittent pond, I mean, rainwater harvesting systems coming off the roof, that could mean a whole lot. And then, of course, you know, if it's filled up, I mean, that could be a big, big appeal to a whole lot of people out there, depending on the rain capturing system. How about swales? You could also market it if you have a smart realtor saying, look, hey, while everybody else is in drought, this property isn't, because they took all the necessary steps to make sure these swales are not only feeding the landscape, but also the aquifer underneath. Things like that, if marketed the right way, could be the best appeal in the world. Maybe you don't intend to sell, but maybe it's something you intend to do, I don't know, maybe not 5 years from now, but 10 years from now. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, but you can develop some of those water sources if possible. It's only going to make, water is only going to make a place more valuable, but it's also going to make it more resilient in so many different ways.
Yeah, nobody's ever spent less on a property because there was a pond on it. that's a good point, Dave. The next one I have is improve access to your property. So if there's any issues with, like, let's say your driveway coming in, let's say there's like a couple of potholes, or it's just not graded correctly, so it's not crowned and shedding water off on either side. If there's any issues you need to fix on improving your access, do that. And one good way to test to see if you need, like, what needs to be improved is have a friend come over and drive your driveway, drive your access points, or just use your access points. And then they will be able to tell you what the issues are and stuff. Because a lot of the times you just become blind to some of the things you work around when it comes to your own access. Like, for example, like, okay, whenever I go through this gate, the gate drags, you know, I don't do it very often, so it's not that big of a deal, so I don't go and fix it. Whereas if somebody else comes, or if somebody is coming to buy that property, they notice the gate drags, they automatically view that as something that they have to fix. Fixing that can typically be pretty simple as far as like a saggy gate or anything like that. But, and that's part of your access as well. Cause it either allows access by opening or blocks access by closing. But, yeah, your driveway, make sure, they have, like, there's a solid, access path that they can follow without having any issues. It doesn't hold on to water or anything like that. Any hazards and stuff like that are removed depending on where the access point is. Like if you're on a mountain and you have like a terrace and there's a cut in one of the terraces or in one section of the terrace that they have to jump over, you know, try to get that fixed before you try to sell the property. But yeah, establish access and clean up any of the problems that might be around the access you have on your property.
Depending on where you are, Todd Pittner was on the show a while back and he kind of inspired this thought here. Is he has like a regular backyard. I think he's in an HOA, but he's up against like a national forest or something like that. I would establish wildlife corridors like we do anyway in permaculture, but I would do it. If let's say you're in an HOA or something like that, or trying to escape it, you could even do it in your backyard, have like a pollinator garden, native grasses or a hedgerow. Creating these wildlife corridors could be a big, big attractive thing. Now for Todd, he's out there feeding the raccoon and the deer by hand. Yeah, that would be a massive appeal to some people out here. I ain't one of them, but for city dwellers, that is probably something you might want to do depending on the side of your yard. But just having a pollinator garden, seeing the butterflies out there, that's a beautiful thing to look at. The butterflies and the bees, you know, depending on how city slickered they are. I mean, some people, man, you put most black people in the outside, man, the second a bug lands on them, man, you would think they just got hit by a wrecking ball. So yeah, you definitely, that is something I think that could be a really, really big, big, big thing. And also it could be part of the attraction of it. More people are warmed up to bees in that natural, you could have beehives right there in the pollinator section that they get to keep along with the house. I would say, hey, this goes with it if you'd like it. I think that would, depending on whom it is, that would be a massive selling point to certain people. Just the fact that you thought about it.
Yeah. My next one is establish property boundaries. So, when somebody's coming to look at a property, it relieves a huge burden of theirs or a headache from theirs if all the perimeter fences are squared away. They're good to go. They don't have to worry about fooling with them. They don't have to worry about rebuilding any of them. They don't have to worry about clearing them at first, because as you know, time goes on, the growth is going to come up. They're going to eventually have to clear their own fences. But it would be nice if there was already well taken care of before somebody purchased the property. And like most of the time, most of the rundown degraded fences that I come across are all barbed wire fences, which are pretty easy to, I mean, they're not so easy to clear, but they're pretty easy to replace. Meaning like you can do it on foot without like tools or equipment, even in kind of, I mean, with tools, but without equipment, versus like woven wire fence where you have like a big 300 plus pound spool of wire that you have to move around. Barbed wire is much easier to move around. But all I'm trying to say with this is make sure that the fences are good to go. Even if you have inside perimeter fences, make sure that they're good to go. Like you have maybe a corral fenced off, attached to the barn, things like that. Make sure that's good to go. Make sure any other perimeter fences, any other dividing fences that you have, make sure that all those are good to go. And that's a huge headache. And if there's any gates, fix the gates. Get everything attached to the fencing squared away before selling, and that should be good to go.
I'm going to say create a food forest for the very same reason that you would a pollinator area. The two can be connected. One can be connected to the other. So imagine this for a moment. You have a little, let's say a little area. It doesn't have to be very big. A little area that's nothing more than a place for pollinators to hang out. Let's say in the middle of that area, you got a couple of beehives. It's kind of cool to look at. And then off behind it could be an area that you call a food forest. The reason why you don't want to call it an orchard is because now the person buying that home fundamentally thinks, now this is more work I got to do. And we are in a work-averse culture. Most people, if you call it an orchard, first of all, most people don't even know what a food forest is. And when the realtor explains to them that this is basically a place that you have to do little to no maintenance on, that they can go in there and harvest. No, the yields are not going to be, well, I mean, the harvest is not going to be extraordinary necessarily, but it's something they got for now, you know, not a whole lot of work. They didn't even put it in. But if you could say you got a food forest, for a lot of, I'm realizing that that word is starting to become, the hipsters are starting to get a hold of it. So yeah. There's some yuppies, some wannabe yuppies out there that are going to want to say, oh, Muffy, I have a food forest back at the house. So they get to brag about that sort of thing. They get to go out there, pick a couple of this or that, that, and this. And it sounds a little more exclusive than an orchard because, like I said, it could be a very well a hands-off kind of thing. But that is a big, big deal. So I would take the pollinator garden and put it right next to the food forest and let some yuppie go out there and think he or she's doing something. And because, like I said, it takes the maintenance out of their hands. So it's going to look a little bit weird, but it can also make them appear to their friends as being a little more avant-garde.
Now, a way to continue to hijack the yuppies and the hipsters is to focus, this is my point, is if every house has landscaping to a certain extent, even if it isn't there, that's the landscaping. What you could do with the landscaping to your house is fill it with a bunch of relatively native, low maintenance plants, things that aren't going to require them to hire landscapers or do the landscaping themselves. I'm thinking yuppie, so I'm thinking they're hiring landscapers or whatever it may be, but something that's very, very low maintenance that doesn't require watering, that does very well in the area, and something that just stays pretty all year long with very, very little maintenance. The only thing that they might have to maintain in a almost pretty close to native landscape or permaculture landscaping, the only thing that they might have to maintain is adding more mulch as weeds pop up through the existing mulch and through the existing cardboard and stuff like that. But, I mean, that's not considered a burden to most of the yuppies and stuff. Is to hire somebody to add more mulch. But yeah, around the house, focus on as native as possible. It doesn't have to be native. The whole point of it is to be very, very low maintenance and designed in a way that isn't going to get in the way in the future. It doesn't require a whole lot to maintain. Very, very hands-off plant. So maybe not a plant that you have to deadhead every year, or maybe not a plant that you're going to have to prune back because it grows very quickly, or it's climbing on something, or it's getting in the way of something else. Try to think of a very low maintenance but pretty permaculture landscape that you can do around the house.
Yeah, think about, okay, this is going to sound weird coming from a permaculture guy like me, but I would say get rid of as best you can any invasive species or what they're going to see as invasive. For example, the nemesis of these mountains over here is Chinese silvergrass. You could probably get a really good deal on a place right now because it's covered up with this silvergrass that nothing will eat. Well, if you had a means to get rid of that very invasive brought in by the government silvergrass, if you had a means of doing that, the property value in that place just went way, way, way up. Remember, you don't have a silvergrass problem. The way we look at it in permaculture, you don't have a silvergrass problem. It was like somebody mentioned a moment ago. Oh, my goodness. Regarding the, I can't remember who it was, but it was further up in the chat when they were saying, look, and I meant to, that's exactly what I was trying to remember. You were talking about, okay, you could have an apple picking business for places in Texas and Oklahoma. You can go out there and pick their apples. They probably pay you to do it. Clean up all their apples, you know, the ones that hit the ground, maybe you give them to pigs and chickens, and the other ones, maybe you sell at the farmer's market to find some other way to offload those apples. I mean, there's an opportunity there. And I love the way you were thinking about that. I'm sorry I can't get back to the chat to point it out. But the point being is you're making the problem the solution when you're getting rid of what they think is an invasive. So if everybody in, let's say, said neighborhood or whatever the case, has this invasive thing, if you found a way to find out what it doesn't like with the silvergrass that we had all over this place, it doesn't like a highly fungal area. So maybe I should turn that into an orchard, maybe give it a lot of shade, maybe put some old growth tree or trees that are going to wind up being old growth, or, you know, just making some really good biocomplete compost that was fungal dominant to get it out there to get rid of this stuff. Maybe that might move the needle in a very, very big way. So that's why I'm saying get rid of what everybody thinks is an invasive out there, and now your property value went way, way up.
Now, if you're doing this, I would say this: if you, from the intent of you getting the property, your intent is to eventually sell the property. But what is the big appeal with a lot of these French palaces and English castles and stuff like that? It's always the gardens, French gardens, and things like that. So plant well-designed, aesthetically pleasing gardens on your property. If your intent, I mean, it doesn't have to be like French palace scale, but if your intent is to eventually sell the property, you might be selling it to somebody who isn't a fan of gardening. But if the garden is well-designed, if it's in raised beds, if it's well-designed, if it's spaced out appropriately, if it looks aesthetically pleasing, it looks easier for them to do. It gives them the, the confidence to go ahead and try to discard, or less, it's not an issue to them anymore. At the very, very least, it's not an issue to them anymore. But if you can do some French style gardening or French gardening stuff on your property, or some even English or Italian gardening type stuff on your property, just with the aesthetic lines and stuff, that's the main thing you should take from it. So you can combine French garden with permaculture, where you have the there's a lot of straight lines. There's a lot of control and things like that, but you can kind of blend the two and get the best of both worlds and still sell it to somebody who might not be in the homesteading realm or the farming realm or anything like that. So,
yeah, good stuff there. I wanted to hit this comment. I stayed on it. Deborah Irvin, 88. Bill Gates bought up all the land out west, all over a giant aquifer, waiting for him to change to charge for it next. It's funny you brought that up. And the reason why is that's exactly what I was talking to Mariah about earlier, who just happens to be in North Dakota. Yeah, that's what a lot of people suspect, that right now they're doing man-made drought out there. Yes, we do have the technology for that. Had it for a long, long time, that they're keeping a lot of these folks in drought to A, either starve them off their land, have them go into bankruptcy, and then people like Bill Gates and a number of others to swoop in. I know this isn't the topic we were talking about, but we're all done with what we were going to do there. But I saw that comment and I wanted to address that. That's exactly what's going on. It's not just Gates. It's a number of others out there too that are a little quieter about how these things are unfolding. But it's another indication of the kind of world we're living in. Yeah, Bill Gates and a number of others are out here. Pretty soon, they're going to own the air you breathe. This is exactly what they want. And this is exactly where it's going. And this is exactly why we talk about what we talk about on this show, so you can avoid a lot of this stuff. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit tough, you know, unless you got a blue roof when they're dropping directed energy on you. You know, outside of that, you got a fighting chance. So this is exactly why we're doing what we're doing. Son, anything else to add here?
Well, yeah, with what you were just saying, with the they're going to own the air you breathe. Yeah, I think they're eventually going to make the air so toxic that they literally rent out or sell clean air spaces. Like areas are in some sort of confinement or some sort of container, some sort of structure. They're going to allow you for a fee to come in there for clean air. I think there's going to be clean air things along those lines. Looking forward to receiving our consultation packet so we can get started on a Litter Homestead food forest. Thank you, Agape Field. Man.
I guess you know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I did a consultation for her.
Okay. Yeah, I was out of the loop on that one. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know what – I saw it in all capital letters, and I figured, okay, I better cover that.
I think she just straight up types in all caps. Every comment she has is all caps, but – I think every comment that, by the way, guys, if you guys are wanting us to see it, or especially Dad, if you want Dad to see the comment easily, type it out in all caps. I think that's what she was doing for you. But one thing that made me chuckle a little bit was Nancy saying Italian gardening means gardening in your front yard.
Yeah. You know why? You know, I'll give a little history lesson on some of this stuff. I do like looking at those Italian, those French and English gardens, even all the way around. There was a guy named Monty Don, English dude that would do a lot of this stuff. But folks, I'm going to tell you, here's where it all came from. And it was a sinister SOB named Sir Francis Bacon, AKA William Shakespeare, in my view. He wrote a book, and I remember I had to read it in college. It's called The New Atlantis. And in this book, basically, what he's proposing is that we whip nature to man's will. That we make nature, and I'm making this very simplified, but essentially what the book was about is that basically making nature bend to your will. That is precisely what these nobles did with these gardens. Also, part of these gardens, believe it or not, y'all, there was no such thing as a monocrop back in the day. But that's exactly why they came up with a lawn. That's where the lawn came from, was to create the illusion that we're so powerful, we're so wonderful, we're so whatever, that we can make it all this green thing, this all this green grass, and have it grow very low. That was the whole purpose for it. And it all started from Sir Francis Bacon. That's why these Italian gardens are what they were. The French were probably in terms of complexity, I don't even think there's a close second to what the French were doing. We don't know what the Hanging Gardens of Babylon looked like, but I'm pretty sure they were balling. But the French gardens, good night, man. Those things are really, really something else. In fact, they even take fruit and vegetables and grow them in an ornamental sense to show just how much control they have over nature. But also, when you do things like that, when you don't work in accordance to how God put it out here, you're going to have a big kick in the pants when the time comes around. And you can thank people like Sir Francis Bacon and a number of others out there, well, a lot of his ilk at that time, that came up with a lot of the things that we see right now. Everybody in Oklahoma and Texas, man, that live in these HOAs and stuff, it's like to keep this manicured lawn out there, you have no idea where it came from. You have no idea why you do it. And it all came from Sir Francis Bacon, and it came from this whipping nature to be what I want it to be instead of working with it. And that's why permaculture is a throwback to the way the good Lord said it on this planet. All right. Hey, y'all, I want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming in here, checking us out. I didn't expect to, you know, give you a history lesson on Sir Francis Bacon, a.k.a. Shakespeare. Didn't expect to do a lot of that stuff, but I want to thank everybody for checking this out. And remember, we are going to be in the other forums, you know, the Pimpcast channel on Rumble and also on YouTube, but no more on the regular channels.
No Always Audio.
This is a blessing. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
What's the world spin? harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.